Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, produced by Shui Media and brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We are a friendly neighborhood podcast where you enjoy drinking cold beverages and talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Folks, you know me. My name is Michael Sizemore. I've been following and writing about the Cowboys for many years and currently contribute to Blogging the Boys. You may follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. Follow the podcast at Brews and the Boys and at Blogging the Boys. With me, as always, he's the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour. Folks, my colleague at Blogging the Boys and the Walter Math out of my Jack Lemmon, the Arn Anderson to my Ric Flair, Mr. Tom Ryle.
Yay!
And you may find Tom on Twitter at TomRyleBTB. So we are steadfast into the offseason. There is a little bit of football going on, but it's not the NFL. Although I think that any little competition, whatever it may be, big or small, is good for everybody. So I wanted to talk about the Cowboys free agency, though, Tom, and I wanted to spend a lot of time on that before we dive deep into the draft later in the offseason. You posted something on Blogging the Boys. You guys can go find it. It's called 6 2019 Free Agents That Should Be on the Cowboys Radar. And you kind of went off... the beaten path of certain other folks that have been talking about, the bigger names, you know, like the Earl Thomases and stuff, which we will talk about, I'm sure, several times. But you kind of went in and you looked at a bunch of different names that could possibly be somewhere around where the Cowboys typically shop.
Yeah. Admittedly, part of this was trying to think the way the Cowboys do and take the approach they take, which is they just do not want to get into a bidding war for a tier one or first wave free agent. They may go in kind of a tier two, but they sometimes like to let the first couple of waves wash over before they start really getting serious about signing people. And so I was trying to look for some people that would fit that would still give them some value. So, some of the ones I came up with were kind of a little more obscure, but there were a couple that struck me as, you know, this might really fit because of the particular circumstances.
Yeah, and the first thing I wanted to do is talk about the safety position, because I really have been on record, and so have you, that the Cowboys really should look at finding some type of, a safety. They really need some playmaking on the back end of their defense. And I think that, last year, Jeff Heath, for example, Jeff Heath missed 14 tackles, I believe, and that was the most of any safety. Now, the Cowboys do play some interchangeable safety roles, so it can be a little difficult sometimes to understand where people are playing and at what time. So you mentioned, everyone talks about Earl Thomas, obviously, and Earl Thomas is his market value is going to be upwards of $10 million per year. It's just kind of how the market value works for players of his caliber. But the safety market could end up being a little bit different like it was last year, Tom, where we saw a lot of safeties not get a lot of money. I don't know if that was more or less Earl Thomas holdout or what have you. But what do you think about the safety market this year with so many guys on it?
Yeah, well, the main thing is that it's crowded. There's a lot of name safeties, and when I say name, I mean people that we believe to be talented. I'm not going to claim to be a great talent evaluator, but you look at names like Landon Collins, Earl Thomas, Clinton Dix, LaMarcus Joyner. You know, there's some good names out there, and you have to wonder, is that going to depress the market? Add in the fact that safety is not exactly one of the high-dollar positions on an NFL team.
No.
You know, they're somewhere behind quarterback, left tackle, Now right tackle is starting to climb up there. Edge rusher.
Cornerback. They pay more to corners than they do safeties.
Yeah, so you're looking at a position that's at best somewhere around sixth or seventh as far as value to the team. So maybe that's going to push somebody down. That's why I was looking at somebody like Trey Boston, mm-hmm. who is one of those guys that's kind of in that second five safeties, not one of the top five free agents, but he's kind of seen as somewhere around nine best safety on the market. He has a reputation for not being the greatest tackler, but excellent in coverage.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they need.
Yeah, that would be the complimentary guy to Xavier Woods, who likes to live up to his name and lay a little wood on people.
Yeah, Xavier Woods is a far better tackler than I mm-hmm. think people realize. And Xavier Woods can play both strong safety and free safety, like the Cowboys are looking for, which is that interchangeable role. But I do believe that the Cowboys need somebody on the deep end that is better in coverage, that isn't going to miss, you know, these game-saving tackles, these big plays that happen down the field with these quarterbacks in the league these days. You know, the Cowboys, and you say Trey Boston, you know, the Cowboys had mentioned last year that they weren't interested in Trey Boston because they felt he was a strong safety, and we all kind of laughed at them because he's not. But at the same time, I think the Cowboys were really holding out hope for one guy, and that was Earl Thomas, and they mm-hmm. did not care to examine anything else other than that.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where it could be a situation where however it falls out, it could work the Cowboys' advantage.
Yes.
Because let's say the market doesn't develop for Earl Thomas. Mm. Suddenly, maybe he gets down into the price range where Dallas is willing to pony up the money.
Well, think about it. He has, ended up on IR two of the last 3 years with a broken leg.
Yeah, so there may be a perception of he's an injury risk out there. Broken leg is the kind of thing that I don't know that you can really say there's a tendency or something that's likely to happen. You can't project the future based on the past with broken bones always.
Yeah, and just get to the end of my safety conversation. You mentioned Trey Boston. He's somebody I wrote about last year. I really like him a lot. I still like mm-hmm. him a lot. I think that he is a great young free safety type of player to have. And another guy that came from the Chargers is Adrian Phillips. He's going to be a free agent. And I think he's also going to benefit, or the Cowboys or other teams looking at him could benefit from an oversaturated market like you were talking about, Tom, because Phillips has 65 solo tackles. He defended 10 passes, 4 tackles for a loss, pick, and a forced fumble. So there are a lot of guys, because they're not as recognizable household names as some of the guys at the top, that might be there if you don't really want to get into a bidding war for these guys at the top.
Yeah, I had actually looked at Phillips when I was trying to decide where I was going to kind of land in the safety market. He's kind of what I would see as maybe the third position. So
yeah, Trey Boston's a better player.
Yeah, you could look at the Cowboys as going in and saying like, okay, first, we'd like to find a way to get Earl Thomas. But we're not going to get into a bidding war.
No.
You know, second, let's find some guy in that kind of second tier that we can get. That's where Trey Boston would fit in. But let's say that doesn't work out. Then you're looking at people like Adrian Phillips, who's kind of in that third level, still a good piece, still somebody that could come in and provide something of an upgrade over Jeff Heath. And I think he would. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of where they're going. It's a little bit like the draft. The Cowboys take a position of they're kind of going to see what other people are going to do first.
Yeah, and another guy I wanted to get to, we're just going to run down your list real quick. You spoke about the running back position, and you talked about Ezekiel Elliott. Everybody knows that Ezekiel Elliott is the man. Nobody's taking his job. But, you know, unfortunately last year for the Cowboys, they just did not – Rod Smith did not do as they expected him to do after having a pretty decent 2017 – 2018, every time, you know, Elliott went off the field, it's like the Cowboys' offense just kind of went backwards or just didn't get anything going unless it was through the air, you know, through the passing game. So I feel like the Cowboys need just something back behind Elliott that is a little bit more threatening, not necessarily a big time, you know, contract, you know, huge dollars spent behind Zeke, but just, you mentioned possibly getting a discount for a guy like Adrian Peterson, who's 33 years old and might be a good one-year rental type thing.
Yeah, which is what he was in Washington. He played for the vet minimum last year. And I don't know what's in his head. Is he looking to try to cash in on that for a little bit more money? Or does he just want another year in the league to go in and prove he's still got it and kind of be a little in your face with the Vikings? I don't know. But it's kind of believed that I think that he would like to play in Dallas. So he might be willing to entertain playing for them at the vet minimum, where he wouldn't entertain going to Cincinnati or someplace.
So it's
one of those things that kind of intrigues me, because they're looking for someone as a fill-in. I think they're going to probably be looking at running backs in the draft. And, you know, what's the backup running back they got? I just was about to say his name and it just slipped right out.
Geis, are you talking about Washington?
No, for Dallas.
Oh, Dallas, the backup running back. They have Darius Jackson.
Darius Jackson. I just went blank on him for a second there, and I hate it when that happens to me. But, yeah, they like to probably have a young guy develop as a backup, but I think Peterson would give him that immediate ability, because he still shows that ability to be patient at the line and wait for blocks to develop and then explode through a hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is amazing to me at his age. I couldn't do that at 18, so all this stuff amazes me.
Well, we weren't the most athletic people. That's why I'm the mouth and you're the muscle. That's how we do it.
But I think he would be a great addition, and I think, you know, a lot of people, it would certainly be good for our business, because it would stir people up.
Yeah. And you mentioned tight end as well. We'll do that one quickly. You mentioned a possible solution as Luke Stocker. You know, he's an 8-year veteran out there. Probably won't, you know, be as expensive as a lot of guys. He's more of a good blocker, but he can still, you know, give you something in the passing game. I would also, if I were the Cowboys, I would explore Tyler Eifert. I know he's got an extensive injury history, but I would explore him just because he might not be as expensive as you would think.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, I mentioned with, I think, T.J. Clemmings. Is that the did I say that right from memory? Yeah. Injury history is something that's always very interesting. The Cowboys have made some mistakes, but they've gotten some right. You know, Jalen Smith was the ultimate call there.
Yes.
You know, they said, look,
that pick, Tom, if they didn't do their doctor didn't do the surgery there.
Yeah. And so how they have a record of being able to figure out, okay, this guy's got a chance of coming back or not. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to play out, but, you know, yeah, they can look at the injuries. Like I said, I think they're going to be looking in the free agent market. They want to get a guy who's a proven blocker, because the college tight ends tend to be weaker there.
Yeah, and I think that if they were looking for a playmaking tight end, they'll draft one. They'll try to draft.
I think they're
player.
Going to.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm looking at. Is you're looking at kind of a balance to go in and have somebody that you can, you know, at least have in the Rolodex. But they carry four tight ends again, then I think they want to get one really good blocker, and that's where you can do that fairly inexpensively in free agency.
And you and I, you just mentioned T.J. Clemmings. That's the next spot is swing tackle. You and I both are pretty much on the board of, let's go and pay for a swing tackle, a nice one. If that means we can bring Cameron Fleming back, that's fine. Cameron Fleming played well enough that I would bring him back on a deal similar to what he got. I don't think he's going to command that much more. But then T.J. Clemmings is another medical guy that you would have to check out with his knee injury history and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just worried that Fleming is going to parlay the starts he did have into a little bit richer contract somewhere than Dallas wants to play.
Yeah.
Now, I'd love to be wrong about that. I think it would be a quick and easy solution. You know, just like I said that at wide receiver, I'd recommend that they re-sign Tavon Austin, you know, for whatever my recommendation is worth.
Yeah, but I want to hold on the wide receiver because I want to talk about that in our second segment. And I want to talk about defensive tackle then, too.
Okay.
So, okay, we're going to take a quick break here on the Brews and the Boys podcast. We'll be right back with more free agency talk and Dallas Cowboys free agency moves that they could make. We'll see you in just a minute. All right, we are back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. We're talking free agency. We're talking Cowboys free agency specifically. We have run down a few names in positions like running back, tight end, and swing tackle is what we just finished on, and safety is what we started. But I want to get to a couple of things because I have a three-part series coming out called The Cowboys Do's and Don'ts of Free Agency. And I, first and foremost, I think that they have to, DeMarcus Lawrence is the first thing they have to do. They have to get him a contract because he's not going to play on a franchise tag, I don't believe. And you're going to be looking at a contract that is north of $19 million per season. So,
yeah,
I mean, he's going to get a lot of cash there. Just right under the $23.5 million per season that Khalil Mack got. So, one of my things is I'm with you here. You mentioned before the break that you would re-sign Tavon Austin. And that's where I'm at. One of my don'ts is don't pay a premium price for a slot receiver. And that's where I come to Cole Beasley. So Cole Beasley, has been very vocal that he would like an opportunity to get paid, but he would also like a place to go that he has more opportunities in the game plan. Now, I don't think that he's necessarily a no for the Cowboys. I think they would like to have him back at the right price. But a lot of folks see that he might get priced out. Where I see things, Tom, is I honestly don't know if Cole Beasley is going to get what he expects because, Julian Edelman, for example, is the closest to, about his age in that range of slot receivers. He just received the MVP at the Super Bowl and we argued that a defensive player really deserved that honor, but slot receivers have their value. And for the Patriots, that role is bigger than most teams have. But Edelman was re-signed last year on a two-year $11 million deal with only $7 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Cole Beasley has played in more games than Edelman, but Edelman has production. His production is almost double what Cole Beasley's had. And unfortunately, Cole Beasley can't tell, the negotiating franchise that wants to sign him that, hey, I could be much, much better if you give me more opportunities. They're going to look at what you did. I mean, they're going to have to look at that. And I don't see Cole Beasley getting more than $5 million to $7 million per season because John Brown, who's also going to be a free agent, who is very close to Cole Beasley in production, John Brown is going to command about $6 million per season. Yeah. And then you have right up above Cole Beasley would be, the Packers guy, Randall Cobb. So he's going to command about 7.1. I don't see Cole Beasley commanding more than Cobb. I think he's going to be in between there. And I think with the draft going, you could get a slot receiver, Tom.
Yeah. Well, and what might work for Cole as far as coming home to the Cowboys is what does Kellen Moore think of him?
Mm-hmm.
Does Moore have a plan for using Beasley's particular skill set? Because Beasley has some things he does superbly.
Oh, yeah.
He's able to get open. He's able to work the middle of the field.
And I'm not denying that if Cole Beasley had a bigger role, it would be he would do well. I'm just saying that I don't think he's going to get the money he might think he deserves.
Yeah. But then that's where it comes back around to, okay, he goes out there. He's not getting the offers. And what he's seeing is kind of what Dallas says they might pony up for him, then, you know, it could bring him home. But that's got a lot of dominoes that have to fall. We have to find out what's going to happen and all that. And I don't know if the Cowboys are really thinking about bringing him back under any circumstances. That's they haven't exactly been coming out and saying, yeah, we're going to do everything we can to keep Cole.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's been talk about how Golden Tate is going to be like the free agency darling, right? He's the wide receiver that has the biggest name, but he's also 30 years old, same age that Cole Beasley is going to be. He's commanding somewhere around $10.2 million per season. Okay, well, look at his production. He's got 1,000 yards on 1,000 yards on 1,000 yards receiving seasons. And so did, you know, so does Edelman and other guys like that. So I don't think Cole Beasley, I've heard rumbles that he is expecting to get paid like that, like getting paid like a Golden Tate, and there's just no way he should expect that.
Yeah, and this is the time of year when the fan base gets very unrealistic because they think going out and signing players is kind of like in Madden. And it's not, you know. And a lot of players get some really weird and unrealistic ideas. You know, look at what happened with Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he passed up on, what was it, $14 million to hold out.
Yeah, and now he's in a position that it's going to be tough for him. I really believe it's going to be tough for him.
I think he lost money that he's never going to regain, and I don't know why. And, you know, I certainly would hope his agent wasn't advising him that this was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I would think this is just he got something in his head and wouldn't listen to reason. But you have to be aware not only of what your own value as a player is, but you have to look at how the league values your job.
It's only the right way to do it. You can't just come in there with, you know, these huge expectations. You're going to get knocked down a few pegs when you do.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. Would you be willing to give Cole Beasley between $5 and $7 million a year? I mean, I think I might if it was a 2-year deal.
I was going to say it kind of depends on how far near the lower end of that.
Yes, yes. If you could get him on what Julian Edelman signed his deal, it was team friendly because he wanted to stay there. So if you could get him on a two-year $11 million deal and $7 million is guaranteed, I mean, I'd probably do that. I would do that for him because he would see, because a lot of players, you know, Tom, they'll look at the average. He'll see the average that he makes over $5.5 million per season. That would be his average. But then you could do things with the contract and stuff and some wording and things like that to where you could get out of, you know, paying the full guarantees and stuff like that. So that would be kind of an interesting thing I would think about.
Yeah. And that part of the thing, and it's very hard for me because you talk about the numbers and what you'd pay. Well, I ain't doing the payroll, and it's not my money.
Yeah.
And there's a certain point at which I just want to say, okay,
yeah,
maybe that's a good idea, maybe it's not, but let's kind of find out how it all comes together.
Exactly, because in the back of your mind, you're saying, we need to pay Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pay Dak Prescott. At some point, we got to make a decision with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
So you're kind of thinking, I don't know, can we really, like you said, it's not Madden. We can't just, you know, you have the salary cap to do whatever you want. The Rams showed you that last year. They could go and sign anyone that they wanted, and they could fit it under the cap. But look at what it does later on in dead cap, dead space, and what you have to pay if you cut somebody. That's the problem. So let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott real quick, Tom. You are, and I think, are both in agreement that don't look to re-sign Zeke just yet. Don't look to extend him.
Be patient.
Be patient with them.
And we just talked about Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that he learned that Zeke is paying attention to what happens with him. Because, I mean, Bell set out, and the Steelers just brought in somebody else and moved right ahead without ever seeming to really notice.
Yeah.
And running back is very complicated. I think Ezekiel Elliott is arguably the best running back in the league. He can be a difference maker. The problem is running back makes a difference in kind of limited specific ways.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer can go out and ride the running game all season long because the NFL no longer functions that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you pick up the fifth-year option on Zeke, and then he's a guy you might want to look at trying to tag and see what happens. And this is going to rankle a lot of people, but if he starts talking about holding out, then you look at him and say, like, fine with us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't think that you don't want to you remember when the Cowboys were negotiating the Dez Bryant deal, the biggest problem, the biggest hurdle to get over was the fact that they didn't want to be the first team to put the deal out there. You know, remember how the Broncos had somebody to, you know, Demaryius Thomas and other teams too. They didn't want to be the first one because then you're setting the market value. So if Zeke, you know, if Le'Veon Bell gets signed, that's going to be pretty much set the market and everyone's going to start the conversation. The agents are going to start the conversation at what it would take to franchise tag the person, you know, franchise tag the runner, but also they'll look at Todd Gurley's deal. So that, to me, I think that you can be patient with running back.
Yes, and I think that's the sad reality of it. You know, you can go back, and at the time I was pretty supportive of the Cowboys getting Zeke, but that's because I bought into the whole, this is the piece that Tony Romo needs to be able to go all the way.
Yes.
That blew up because Tony Romo got hurt again. And if I had it due in hindsight, I would not have wanted to see the Cowboys pick Zeke at number four with what they had going. Now, he was very instrumental in Dak's success, and maybe that was important for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to think, was there a better way to invest that fourth-round spot?
Yeah, exactly. And looking at market value for Ezekiel Elliott, he's scheduled to be a free agent in 2021. His market value, he's not even the highest. He's not even listed as the highest runner in his free agent class.
Mm-hmm.
He's listed below Alvin Kamara, and I think that Alvin Kamara gets a higher grade just because Alvin Kamara does so much in the passing game as well. So so Zeke's is set at about $9.5 million per season,
yeah.
A 5-year deal worth about $47 million, $47.3 million, and Kamara's is just right above him at $49 million. But I really think just that's somewhere I'd be patient with. Now, we spoke last week on, and then we're going to close out the show today talking about defensive tackles, but we spoke last week about the quarterback and how you and I both were on board with doing that one earlier so you can avoid the high inflation that's going to happen after the new negotiation.
I'm still laughing about these people that are talking about trying to get – I've seen – something as ludicrous as $15 million a year thrown around. And, you know, you just want to fall out of the chair.
Sure, he'll sign a $15 million a year if you guarantee it every single season.
Yeah, for like 15 years.
15 years,
Here's what, if you want to talk, if Dak were to come or his agent were to come and say, we want an 8-year, $25 million a year deal or $200 million with $75 million guaranteed, I think the Cowboys should get the ink on paper on that as quick as they possibly could. I think if they came in and said we want 5 years, $150 million with about half of it guaranteed, I think they should also jump on that because I believe that the quarterback market is going to do the exact same thing that it's been doing for years, and that is it's going to go up. Mm-hmm. And just like with Tyron Smith, everyone saw his deal as just, oh my God, how can the Cowboys pay that much for an offensive lineman? You know, and
now people look at
that. Yeah, people look at that and go like, God, what a team-friendly, great contract the Cowboys locked him into.
Well, we all talked about when that deal was done with Tyron Smith, all the wording, once the wording came out on that contract, you were like, man, Tyron Smith is really doing this team a favor.
Yeah, it was very team friendly.
Yeah, very, very team friendly.
And a lot of people just look at the first announced number and don't dig into what's guaranteed, what options the team has. At what point can they afford to get out of this under the salary cap? And we don't even know what kind of shape the salary cap is going to have or how the rules may change. So,
exactly. But I want to move on. I want to move on to our final point, and that is defensive tackle. I think the Cowboys, you and I both think the Cowboys need some help at defensive tackle, but I think we're both on the same page, which is I would not be shopping free agency for the high-priced defensive tackles, because when you look at the age of those guys, they're all outside of Grady Jarrett, who's not leaving Atlanta. It's not happening. It's guys like Ndamukong Suh, and then there could be a cap casualty with Gerald McCoy from the Buccaneers. Yeah. But all of those guys are north of 30 years old. I think, I mean, you mentioned that you think the Cowboys should go in. Who did you say that they should, that you would go after?
Oh, gosh.
I'm pulling it up right now. But I said that the Cowboys could even explore defensive tackle. You said Rodney Gunter. And I think that's a good defensive tackle to explore because he's 27. He's a solid run stopper, which is what I believe that you and I are on the same page on. The Cowboys don't need more guys that can be the three tech. They got a lot of those.
Yeah. And Gunter does have a little penetration ability. So he gives you the ability to go in and play on a rundown, but still not hurt you if it turns out to be a pass play instead.
Yeah, and I think they could re-sign Dayton Jones for very little money. They like him. They like him as a pass rusher if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. We're just now starting to see things. All that we really know at the moment is that they're moving on from Terrence Williams.
Yes.
They are running as fast as they can away from David Irving.
They have to.
And they are going to bring back LP Lattisier.
Lattisier. LP, man, that guy, he deserves it. Whatever they give him, I'm okay.
Yeah, well, let's not start talking about cutting him until he misses a snap.
No, exactly. Because that penalty that he got called last year was the most dumbfounded BS I've ever seen.
That is one of those things that really makes people start folding up those tinfoil hats
But defensive tackle. Sheldon Richardson, I like Sheldon Richardson. Okay, I think he'd be a great grab, but what the price, the market value for him right now is north of $8 million. I don't think he's worth that because he hasn't really lived up to those first-round expectations. He's been signing a lot of prove-it deals. I would not do that. But if you could swing, half that price is like $4 million for Benny Logan, who's a run stuffer, somebody that they did like in the draft process, I would think about that. I would think about spending less money because – as much as I get onto Rod Marinelli for not valuing those run stuffing defensive tackles, they don't get paid a lot in the league. And you can look for a guy that has that ability. I don't think you need to really go and try to break the bank for a guy like Ndamukong Suh or Gerald McCoy or any of those guys.
And there ought to be, I think, in a kind of age cost relationship. If they are a more, if they're an older guy, they ought to, but they need to come cheaper.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mid-round defensive tackles in this draft, Tom. I mean, there's a lot of the draft class is looking better than it was last year. So, but I think Rodney Gunter is right on the money for the type of guy that you're looking for.
Yeah, and that was what I went way down the list, kind of looking and trying to figure out where it was, and when what I saw about him, again. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in my ability to figure this stuff out. Mm-hmm. But what I saw about him just seemed to fit the bill, and he was young. And the Cowboys need to go more than just, let's get one guy in the draft. They're going to need more than that.
Yeah.
That's why I think a free agent deal now, draft you a guy, sign you a UDFA or two, and then be ready to look for another Antoine Woods to fall out of the sky if you can grab him up. So
exactly. And because, like you said, the one thing that I paid attention to most, what you said just now, was You look down the list and you saw Rodney Gunter was young.
Yes.
Look at that list of defensive tackles. 32, you know, 30,
yes.
36, 30, 34, 31.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are on the wrong side of 30, and the Cowboys are just not interested in that.
Yeah, and that would...
I mean, they could go after Danny Shelton. He's 26. They could go after Gunter, who's 27. They could go after those type of guys, but I do not see them wanting to spend money on 30-plus-year-old defensive tackles.
Yeah, I would only see that happen if they had a problem in training camp.
Yes.
You know, somebody was not possibly going to be on PUP or IR or something, and they just needed somebody else. Then you could go out and look at doing a year or two rental on a guy past 30. But
like Darius Filon, the defensive tackle from the Chargers. But, man, at 25, I don't see them letting him go. I think he's played well enough to keep his job there, and they'll probably pay him a little bit of money to keep him there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, you know, you have to kind of look at how it all fits together too. As I said, remember, when you're looking at defensive tackle, you're looking at a Cowboys roster that's got nobody for depth.
No.
They've got a couple of starters in Malik Collins and Antoine Woods. They've got Tyrone Crawford, who's really just your utility infield kind of guy on the defensive line. And right now, that's it. Now, you mentioned Dayton Jones and, trying to remember the guy that they have not re-signed yet.
Reed?
Yeah. They may try to do something with him that we don't know. Until that happens, we got to look at, well, what are the possibilities? And you have to really, and I'm, by the way, I want to apologize for not having some of this stuff at my fingertips here, because I just didn't think about trying to pull up the
Tom,
old.
Tom, you're a Hall of Famer in my book.
But, you know, we have to look at the Cowboys, what they have, who's around already, and what they need to fill. And that means that numbers are more important at some places, like defensive tackle.
Yes. If you're going to go spending money, I would look at the safety market. I would look at that. I would explore every bit of that market. But I would not fill, you know, big needs like a slot receiver. I would fill that in the draft. I would fill a defensive tackle in the draft and maybe go for a low cost type of, you know, defensive tackle in free agency, like a Gunter or something like that.
Yeah, and tight end, you don't want to spend a lot in free agency. I think, you know, like you said, safety is the only place I can see them really getting to spend some money, because it may be cost effective this year to go in a little bit more than the Cowboys usually do, because you're getting so much value for the dollar if the market is depressed the way it looks like it's going to be.
Okay, quickly, a couple of questions before we get out of here. I just want to know if you'll do it. I just want to know, yes or no, would you cut Sean Lee and save the $7 million?
I would see if he'd take a pay cut, and if he wouldn't, I'm not saying I would not do it.
Would
really have to think long and hard, but I might do it.
Would you cut Allen Hurns and save $5 million?
Well, I want to see how his ankle comes back, it was his ankle that was so badly, badly broken. I would have to see his health first, because I'm not even sure he's going to make it back right now.
Okay. Yeah, I think I might explore cutting both guys. With Sean Lee, I would try to give him an opportunity to take a pay cut, definitely.
Yeah.
Allen Hurns, you might still want to see, because he could do some stuff in the slot for you. You never know. But
that one might take care of itself.
Yeah, I don't think you need to restructure anybody's contract this year. I really don't. I think you can do whatever you need to do. Well, that's all we got for you guys. We'll be here talking more free agency and stuff about the Cowboys all offseason long. The Cowboys right now, you know, like Tom said, they look to be signing LP Lattisar. We'll get that information as soon as possible. And free agency starts in just a few weeks. And the Cowboys are one of the top 10 teams in free agency cap space, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. You can find him at Tom Ryle BTV on Twitter. You can find me at Mr. Sizemore. Find us at Brews and the Boys, at Blogging the Boys on Twitter. Please leave us a review if you can. Thanks for joining us again for another Brews and the Boys edition of our episode, brought to you by SB Nation and Vox Media Podcast Network, as well as Shway Media. Take care, Cowboys Nation. We'll be in your ears in a week.
Brews and the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit brewsandtheboys.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.